Podcast Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to audiochat.fakeologist.com. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow fakeologists around the globe. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. To listen to the live stream, go to s3.fakeologist.com. Now, on with the audio chat.
July 27th, 2021. This is the Fakeologist speaking. How are you? I'm waiting for Critical Thinker and an ounce of salt. Hello, Critical Thinker. How goes it? How goes the battle?
Yes, still battling, but fairly normal where I am at the moment. So it's we're in that relaxed summer period, aren't we?
Yeah.
Yeah. How's it for you?
Things are fine. Things are fine.
Yeah, it's a roller coaster, that's for sure.
Yes, we're just waiting for the next shoe to drop. You were in England. You were in Italy for a while.
Yeah, I was. We were in the UK for about 10 years, me and my wife, but we moved over to Italy to have our firstborn. And after a year or so, then COVID kicked in, and it just made things very difficult for us there. So we had to just jump back over to the UK, where we were used to things, and it was a bit easier here, a bit more relaxed. Lots of shaking up and moving about, but we're on top of it. Got to keep moving on.
Whereabouts in Italy were you?
Say again?
Whereabouts in Italy were you?
We were around Ravenna, Bologna, kind of northeast coast.
What was that, near Lombardy province?
No. A bit further up. It's a very, very flat area. Lots of agriculture and humid weather.
I think I met you on Clues Forum.
No, I wouldn't have been Clues Forum.
What did you think of Simon's latest post on Clues Forum about the mass flu shot injection in Lombardy province?
Yeah, that was spoken about a while ago as well by others, I think, around when everything kicked off. It made sense at the time, to be honest. It felt like anyone that had had their immune system compromised from the year before was
I just call it poison. I just call it poisoning. I'm not sure why people, I guess it's a natural thing to bring up the immune system, but if you're poisoned, then you're just in a state of toxic shock.
Yeah, but I think it also puts them in a state of having less ability to...
I'm asking alone now. One moment. I'm really glad to see no one else
around. I'm asking at home now. You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
Wear a mask inside your home.
Yeah, so Simon really made another post, I guess, was just to reinforce his thoughts on the matter, that is the mass inoculation that poisoned the population, mainly seniors. And there's couple that with, I think, they have a lot of industrial pollution in that province due to its geographic positioning and amount of industry in the area.
Yeah, I think these are all contributes to it, but again, I think we all know at the end of the day, it was just a normal winter season hijacked with a lot of hype, wasn't it? You know, so I don't think we could put it down to any particular thing, like there was any raise in deaths, because there wasn't really a raise in deaths, was there?
Yeah, I would agree with that statement. I would definitely agree with that statement.
Yeah, I mean, anytime someone's trying to put a bit of a story behind what happened and why it happened, it's truth is nothing really happened other than whole bunch of media hype.
Yeah. Are you hearing stories in your jurisdiction about the vaccinated versus the unvaccinated, and how they're going to ramp that fear up?
Yeah, it's there, but also where I live, there seems to be a lot of respect for individuality at the same time, so you don't come across it too much, to be honest with you.
Yeah, but do you see the narrative being driven right now?
Only if I pay attention to it, or I hear yourself or anyone else talk about it. It's not necessarily part of day-to-day life, no.
Yeah, okay.
I feel it. It's not necessarily that it's not there or it's not in words, but you can feel it, as in energy from people. You can feel that it's coming. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, well, they're messaging the population right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I'm having a few good encounters with people that seem to be not not swaying either way, and therefore not necessarily falling for the propaganda of being against the unvaccinated. They're just looking forward to a way out rather than having an opinion at all. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of that.
Except there is no way.
I got to step back into a pub for the first time in about 12 months this evening.
How did that work out?
No, it's interesting. I've got a lot of people around me that think like this, so it's fine. We got a good crew of us that catch up and make ourselves present here and there. But it's interesting watching punters come into the pub and the way they're used to putting on the mask as they enter the door, but then taking it off as they sit down, even though England's been given the all clear to not have to do that. Watching certain people and even a certain generation is still behaving in that manner. It's something to watch, I'll tell you.
Are you talking about the young people? You call them punkers?
Yeah, yeah. No, punters is just customers, I suppose. So punters coming to the pub. It's definitely that university generation.
Yeah, the people that are 18
yeah.
to maybe 30.
Yeah, 18 to 30, exactly that, yeah.
Yeah, it's part of their identity. It's almost a generational identifier.
Yep. They'll even walk outside of the pub with their mask on to then sit down and light a cigarette.
Do they have a special hole in the mask for the cigarette?
I felt like asking.
I guess they don't see the irony in what they're doing.
No. It's becoming a routine now. It's like an indoctrination, isn't it? It's embedded now.
Well, all psyops and cultural changes, they're made for the young. They're not made for anyone over a certain age.
Yeah, that's
not
true.
It's not for us, really.
Well, there's probably different psyops for different
age groups.
Yeah, demographic. Yeah. No, for sure. But I'm getting a lot of good results from my folks back home. They're not playing into any of this anymore, and they're not going anywhere near the needle.
Were they completely avoid the needle? That's amazing.
Yeah. Even got my mum off the Telegram, and she's sharing links, trying to get it to the rest of the family, and copping a lot of flack. Learning all those hard lessons of screaming from the rooftop.
What a success story. That's good to hear. I like success stories. I don't hear them from my family.
Well, I've been at them they've given me the space to talk for decades, you know. So they've had me in their ear for a long time. And
how long have you been a truther?
Wow, through school, really.
What year would that be?
I couldn't say. I couldn't put a year on it, but it was constantly floating through school with doing very little work, yet getting all the way through it was good relationships with teachers and just pulled out early and got into the real world. And yeah, just school never rang true with me. It always felt like a little bit of a...
Yeah, but would you say
a bit of a program being... No, around 2000, so around 9/11. Even before that, there was a bit, yeah.
So when 9/11 came along, did you figure that this is all a ruse at that time?
More or less, but it was immediately into the controlled opposition narrative, wasn't it? You know, it was already there for us.
Yeah, but you... Wow, that's amazing, though, that you've been looking into this since 9/11. Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, more or less. I mean, like a lot of people, when it happened, they knew it wasn't right. They knew something was off and the story didn't ring true with reality, but there was almost a cooling down period after that, I think, where a lot of us kind of didn't pay too much attention for a while, and something arose again.
Yeah.
It would have been around the London 7-7 stuff. When was that? 2007?
Okay. Yeah, was that 7-7-7?
Yeah, there you go. 7th of July, 2007. But probably around then it kicked back in, yeah, and that was the seeing through it moment.
Oh, you're that's fantastic. You've been awake way longer than anyone I know.
That's interesting. Yeah, but again, and dipping in and out as well, sometimes it's more into the spiritual game at play. That can be very helpful at times. And then there's dipping back into this more conspiratorial realm, but I blame X-Files as a youth.
Okay. What do you mean the spiritual game?
The conspiratorial what?
You said you get more into the spiritual game.
More the deeper reasons and deeper questions of who we are, where we are, what we're doing.
I think it's more the concept of being able to zoom out each time something gets complicated or you're facing a paradox in life. It's more being able to zoom back out another level to perceive it from, yeah, it's all beyond words, really.
We got one guy complaining that there is too much biblical talk on the last audio chat. Did you listen to that, and do you agree if you did listen?
I was actually listening to that before I got on here, yeah.
I think
it's all... No, I think it's fantastic. I think having someone like Frank to remind us of that, I think, is...
All right.
Very, very useful, yeah.
Okay, I wasn't sure.
I think everything ties in, all of it. You've got to take it all on board.
Okay, so that's a vote for Frank. Frank was over in room 11. He didn't make it over, so he'll be glad to hear that if he listens back. That's very good.
I'm surprised anyone would take offense to any of it, to be honest with you. That's,
Okay. Well, are you registered on fakeologist.com?
I think I was a long time ago, but I haven't jumped in for a while on the website. I used to listen to everything just straight from the website before Discord.
Okay. I'll have to send me your email and I'll double check for you. And
we have a new function
that I got working called Mention, just like in Twitter.
Right.
So I actually mentioned Matt, M-A-A-T, the lady from Food Forum, just as a test. And she actually responded to her mention because it shoots an email to you that you were mentioned on the blog. So I find that very powerful. So
yep,
I told her to try and get on the Discord and leave us some audio and get a commentary from her on the latest and worldwide coronavirus code.
Cool. But the last chat where I think Frank and Fast Value and Alto and yourself were talking, I thought it was right on point. So I don't know where anyone got the idea that there's too much biblical talk going on.
Well, there's always an opinion of every flavor and variety from different people. I don't have much to say about it, but the main thing I say is if they took offense to it, then at least they listen. It's okay not to agree. Bonsoir, Benoît.
Yeah.
Bonsoir. Yes, just to come back on what Physical Thinker was saying, I think that just for the reason that Frank gives the best advice on soul, we can bear with a little bit of religious talk from him from time to time. Just in recognition of the fact that he gave the great advice to everyone to increase their intake of soul, which is a great, great, great advice.
Yeah. So you mean
but
that,
again, he's not coming at it from a religious perspective anyway. It's his own journey and his own experience that he's referencing it biblically. But again, it's, for someone to see it as being religious is from their own perception projecting onto what he's saying anyway. So it's
I don't mind dissent at all. I welcome dissent. It makes people sharper in their argumentation and makes people aware of how they're affecting others. I think it's fantastic. I don't mind. I don't mind criticism. I get criticized as well. I welcome criticism because it means people are actually paying attention and listening. And maybe I can actually make an improvement in my own self. So I got no issues with that. But I'm also grateful that since I opened up the comments on fakeologist.com/blog, the level of engagement has increased tremendously. Well, that's really good news.
Yes, it will be great if we can deflect some of the traffic from Discord to the website directly. It will be very, very good.
Yeah, definitely. Because that's where it all used to be as well.
Yes. Well, I was going to ask Benoît, you're the custodian of Discord. What can we do to nudge people? Can we use any of the techniques of the coronavirus hoax to nudge people over to the website? Should we use fining and... maybe a punishment system? Is there anything we could do?
you would almost need your own server to have voice chat like this.
Well, I don't mind the voice chat. No, the voice chat is fine for Discord. It's just a text.
Yes.
There's a lot of good text messages that get lost in the shuffle. Because they're not organized well.
Yes, my opinion is that anything that is mandatory or punitive is not a great thing. But what we can do, what I can do on a personal level, because I interact with a lot of people on this space, it maybe reference the website more, use it more as my reference tool, and that's why maybe we can divert people from Discord to the website just by more referencing more and always including something from the website in whichever discussion we are having.
Yeah. It'll be difficult because Discord is easy to leave text,
mm-hmm.
but That's just something to think about. I don't have an answer.
Yes,
no
but you are right, because yeah, there have been some great discussion, especially the last few days, in my opinion. Most of it is lost in because it's a pain in the ass to scroll on Discord, and not that much people are taking the time. So,
well, that's the other thing.
That it's not the
best. Yeah, if there's an ongoing chat and you scroll back, the minute someone types something new, it jumps back to the recent stuff, and you lose your place.
Exactly.
That is
the worst thing I ever saw.
That is such a bad thing, a bad feature.
Yes, it's funny that you say that, because I experienced that just 2 days ago. I wanted the delicious Kyle Larkin to join me in Switzerland for a period of day, and the Swiss government is very picky on who they let enter. So basically, we had to go up on Discord to the beginning of our exchange, and it took me about half an hour to scroll to less than a year of exchange. So it's insanely difficult, and it's a pain in the ass, and it's very terrible in that sense.
Well, if we limit the number of tech panels on the Discord, if we limit it to even one or two, would that help?
Probably. So some of them must be, or not maybe erasing them per se, but maybe put something that is mentioning that everything will be slowly but surely transferred to the website, you know?
Yeah, well, it would just be less stuff to go through, that's for sure. But yeah, if we could just, I'm not sure it would work, but might be worth a try. We could just shut down all the tech channels for a period of time and see what happens.
Maybe so. Maybe that would not be the worst idea. As the person that is mainly using Discord and everything, even I can see the benefits of it, really.
It'll be a lot easier to find, because there isn't a lot of respect for the categories on Discord. I noticed that stuff, there's a lot of stuff that ends up in the wrong category anyway. It's all over the place.
Yes, and then there is some categories that are kind of useless, like, for example, solutions. It's kind of useless, really. There isn't much things that goes in the sense of solution.
Yeah, and we could delete that. It's just that no one is going to... Most people don't find the category before they start typing. They just start typing.
Yes, I may be the only one that is still trying to keep tab on that, but it's difficult. Like, for example, just today we have the longest discussion, and it was a serious discussion about personal hygiene and everything that you can do to improve your life on the meme channel. But in the end, what can you do if the discussion starts there?
Yeah, the meme channel.
People from doing it.
Yes. Yeah, you're right. Then we should just have maybe one or two channels, channel one and channel two, and don't even give them topics.
Probably. That will not be the worst idea, really. But the thing is that the thing that happened with the meme is that someone posted a meme, and that triggered a very fascinating discussion. So there is value to it. It's really difficult to discern between what is useless and what can be useful.
Yeah, I guess the main problem with a forum is... if someone types a new message in the forum, you can't really see it right away. I guess that's the main problem with the forum. What do you think? So, if you'd have to refresh the forum, I guess? I'm not sure.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Hi, I'm Sean from California. You listen to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
Yeah. Is that...
I get a lot of email alert when something is posted on the forum that is of my interest. Some of the subcategories, I get an email alert.
Yeah.
But like I said, it's very difficult to discern what is useful and what is useless, because to come back to that discussion we were having on the meme channel, it just started because I posted something about a guy that is a fruitarian. So basically the guy is eating only fruit and he's looking like shit, as you can imagine. And that triggered the discussion. So was this guy anorexic? What can you do to improve your health, everything? And it was a fascinating discussion. So yeah, it will be really difficult to discern what channel to erase and which one to keep.
Yeah, you're right. We don't want to upset the apple cart too long. I'm going to mute for a minute as I change Bluetooth. So give me a second here.
Yes. So as a reminder to everyone listening, you are listening to Fakeologist Radio at fakeologist.com. It is, for me at least, Tuesday, the 27th of July, 2021. And I am Benoit, and I am a critical thinker and fakeologist himself.
How are you finding being back in Switzerland, Benoit?
I hate it, but I mean, I am really happy about the fact that I managed to quit smoking weed, and I really have a different perspective on life. So yeah, it's not the worst really, but yeah, the day-to-day grind, it's terrible. But it's the case for everyone that is coming from vacation. But since I am a very, very lucky man, Sky Larkin will be with me on Monday, so I cannot totally complain. It's not the worst.
Sure.
And on another front, I did not watch much news or anything. I did notice that there were some massive protests in France. But the thing is that the protest, what I saw about the protest in France is that they were co-opted by political leaders. So I don't have much hope of something very good coming from it, just for the fact that, like I said, it has been co-opted by some, how can I call them?
Yeah.
Not right-wing.
It's hard to tell.
Yeah,
I know what you mean. It's hard to tell a lot of the time because, yeah, you know, we can get excited about a protest here and there and then suddenly something happens, but often it feels like there's a bit of agitprop going on and some antagonizing from different outsourced. Yeah, it's hard to keep follow of.
Yeah, and I think that the system is very, very intelligent on that, because to give you an example, the main guy, I will think that he's the main guy at least, but I don't think I'm wrong. The main guy on France that is leading this protest is a guy that is on the right, on the right politically. His name is Florian Philippot. So the thing is that the guy is saying all the right thing, he's doing all the right thing, he's organizing protests, he's trying to go against it. But it just so happened that the guy is an homosexual. So in the end, how far can he reach, especially in the right circle, or the right people that are more on the right politically. So I think that it's also the useful idiots, if you want. So he can gather some people, but there will always be a glass ceiling with him. And that's the fact that he's an homosexual. And in the more traditional circle of the French society, this guy will never be accepted, just on that basis.
Yeah, it's full of that all across the spectrum. Controlled opposition.
Exactly. Exactly. So I think that there is absolutely no, that is not a coincidence that it was that guy that was specifically put in that position at that specific time.
So because the,
we know that is,
The spraying of the manure onto the, was it the president's house or the parliament house? Do you think that was an act or that was for real from the farmers?
I think that it was older than, I don't think, as far as I know, that it was, that it happened this year or the year before. Because there were massive protests of farmers a few years back about something that was called the eco-tax. So I think that it was on that specific moment that they threw manure at some political person house.
Okay.
So I don't think that it was right now. But the thing is that I'm really keen on believing that the farmers are able to do that, because farmers in France are really hardcore on protest. And for some reason, they obtain results sometimes. So I don't know if it was planned like that or anything, but this thing about the eco tax, they managed to make the government backtrack on it, so maybe there is something to it. I think that not that massive protest can do anything, but if you get civil disobedience and if you really start to bother society, it will make a change. Like, once again, to use the example of France, what the government did, I think it was yesterday or just today, they excluded the truck drivers from the mandatory vaccination. Because they know that this is a part of society that can really, really get things really hard for all the other people in the country.
Which is almost playing
into France. So supposedly France, it will be mandatory from the 15th of September for medical personnel and people in that field to be vaccinated. If not, they will be suspended without pay, and after a while they can be terminated. So it's a very, very short time frame to do anything really. But the government is not stupid, because the police force and the truck driver are excluded from any mandatory vaccinations. Those are the people that I think that if there is any real interest in something in society, we have to reach those people.
I'm glad to hear. That's good news. That means I don't need one.
That means that the government, if they follow the footsteps of what happened in France, they will very, very, very be careful about the truck driver, because obviously, if that happened when I was a kid, if the truck driver get on a strike, let me tell you that it can be very, very difficult. I remember that when my parents and I and my brothers were traveling Europe in a camping car, we were in France, and the truck drivers were using truck to block the exit of the supermarket car park. So basically, they were about to trap a lot of people in their car inside of it. So Just by putting a truck in a strategic base, you can cause a lot of trouble in society. And not even mentioning stopping from delivering the goods that are needed. So I think that you will be in a kind of protected class for a while. I think so.
By the way, that could be a part of their play.
That could be a part of their play, I think, even. Just, you know, getting the truck drivers to react that way does affect the supply chain, doesn't it? So that alone could be part of their, you know, their script.
Yeah, that's true. They don't miss the thing. By the way, that manure sprayer on the president's house in Paris, that was from years ago, apparently, yeah. Marcus.
There you go.
Too bad. They're doing a lot of that. They're bringing back old video and not putting the date on it. A lot of they're putting that into the social media.
That could be the same with all these vaccine videos, couldn't it? You know, this one shaking and this one falling to the floor and this one with all the lumps and that. Who knows where these videos are from?
The shake videos, that's shake porn. I call that shake porn. I watched one of them and I was almost positive she was shaking her camera, but they could say, well, she was shaking her camera because her arm was twitching. But yeah, I'm pretty skeptical of the shake porn. That stuff that's not really convincing.
Right.
But I don't know.
It's more the after effects that you'd be concerned with, people having chronic stomach pain days after or sweat, heavy sweats days after, or, you know, dead arm for a week. It's more those being realistic, but all this shaking and dropping dead, I think that's part of the agit prop.
But I think that in a way it's positive, because let me give you an example.
Yeah, I think it is playing in our advantage to a degree. Sorry, go on.
Go ahead.
Yes, I read a story about a doctor in Birmingham, Alabama, that said on Facebook that some of the patients, the young patients that she was treating for COVID, before they went under, because they were about to die, obviously, fear porn and everything, they were like, oh, please give me the vaccine now. I want the vaccine. And she was like, oh, but it's too late now. It's too late. And the thing is that I did a quick research on the internet to look up at how many news outlets were publishing that story. And every other news outlet in the USA was publishing that story. The thing is that the people at Natural News did their research. And the story is fake, obviously. But no one ever put a denial or a retractation or said, oh, obviously we were mistaken or anything. So in the end, even if those shake porn videos are fake, I don't really mind, because in the end, no one will really register. 1 week from now, everyone will forget. And even if it's fake, no one will say that it's fake. So if it helps the cause, in the end, I don't care much that it's fake or that it's from another period.
Yeah.
Unless they've got something else on offer afterwards, you know, unless part of the script is to demonize vaccines. You know, I've heard that said before. I think Marcus Allen's brought that up a couple of times, that part of his plan is to demonize the vaccine, to introduce something else, but I don't recall it too well.
Yeah, me neither.
Yes, it's a determined plan to create a divide in society, because that's the best way to control the masses, as everybody knows. So in the end, I don't care about people that are vaccinated, and I think that all those people did that for a good reason. And I understand that it's terrible, but in the end, you get to make your peace with it. Like, to give you a very, very, very personal example. This Sunday, I spoke to my daughter on the phone, and she was in vacation with my mom, and she was like, oh, but you know, Dad, I may get the vaccination. And I tried to talk her out of it. I tried my best, but there is no possibility. So if I allow myself to start to consider that the vaccine are people that I get to get away from, and that I get to develop some hate, it's terrible, because in the end, it's going to mean that my family is the enemy. My own blood is the enemy. It's over something as stupid as an injection in their bloodstream. So it's not that important. It's important to not get vaccinated and to fight the measure that are in place, but to be against the people that are vaccinated, I mean, come on, it's not sustainable. You cannot create a risk in your family because of that. Or
that's exactly what they want.
Yes, I know.
That's exactly what they want from us, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is that my daughter was very clear on that. She was like, whatever you say, I can do it without your consent or without my mom's consent. I don't even care. I can do it anyway.
And she said that to herself.
That's not, yeah.
Yeah, but you can take that from two perspectives. You can be like, oh, it's terrible. I have no say in what she's doing. Or you can... If you see it the way I see it, and like, yeah, okay, maybe she's wrong on that issue, but at least she has some fortitude of character, and when she knows what she wants, she will do what she wants, and you know what I mean? I'm kind of happy that you cannot be influenced.
If they're not under your roof as well, you know, if they're not under your roof.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I said to her. I said that if she was under my roof, I will probably slap her around until she gave up. But, you know, it's
how old is
to
she?
Go anyway. You have to 14.
Oh, jeez, that's young.
Mm-hmm.
Oof. Yeah, that's too young for to be happy about that. Oh, well.
No, she was not happy about that. Really, she was pissed about the fact that she has to get vaccinated. But she was like, yeah, but you know, I have to travel with your mom. And because the thing is that it's my mom that put her to it, really, because my mom has a great deal of influence on her. So basically, she was like, yeah, but if I want to travel, I don't want to get my nose swab each and every time. And I tried to explain to her that it will change nothing, that she get vaccinated or not, she will have to get the nose swab. But there is only so much you can say. And in the end, like you said, I'm not living with her. So I will not alienate my own daughter over something as trivial and stupid as a vaccine. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well,
it's also trying to remind them that it's not just this vaccine either. You know, once you start with this one, you're giving the green light to a multitude of these vaccines, seasonal updates, everything, and you won't be able to participate in anything without them. So it's reminding people of that's the result of accepting this first one.
Yeah, but maybe an adult, you can get that through their head, but someone that is 14 years old, she's only see the short-sighted view of that, which is, I will get vaccinated and everything will be fine. My hope is that in the time, when she grows up, she will be like, yeah, you was right. So I'm not trying to hammer my arguments into her head, but just to tell them.
Most adults are behaving that way too.
Exactly.
That's the thing. Most adults are behaving like 14-year-olds right now. If I do this, you know, we'll get back to normal. So the pressure, come on, just join us. Just do it with us. We'll get back to normal. It's
bullying. It's peer pressure.
Adults
are
behaving like that. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the biggest thing we face, I think, is that moving forward. More than the authorities themselves or the government, it's the people around us.
Oh, yeah. Well, I posted a short video documentary that I lifted from Clues Forum, and it's about utopia. And basically, you're wearing the digital bracelet that controls your behavior with the fines, and everyone around you is the police, because they use their phones to report on you to get credits. And that was done in 2019. I know there's probably other videos, movies that have been programmed in the last 20 years to alert us of where this is all going, but I really think that's where it's all going. I think that is the whole point. They're using the virus as leverage to get everyone to be absolutely
and
digitally ID'd.
They're using the vaccine the same way. There was a video I was going to post to you, actually, for you to look at. But it's an Italian guy pointing out that it's just as much not about the vaccines as it's not about the virus. The vaccines are also a part of the distraction to introduce the digital sort of ID system. Yeah, yeah. So it's important to remember that as well, which is why I don't believe the vaccines are doing all the damage they're trying to portray. I think that's part of the theater to keep us distracted whilst that system is being implemented behind it.
And on another level, like for example, for skylarking to meet me in Switzerland, it was not the case when I got to the UK. I didn't have to use her name, if you want. I never had to divulge that I was going there to meet her or whatever. But for her to be able to travel to Switzerland next week, we had to divulge some really, really personal detail of our relationship. Like, to give you an example, we had to both sign a paper that is claiming that we are in an intimate relationship with dates
ridiculous.
Is that not because you were doing it on that principle rather than her just being a traveler? Was she not at a better chance just being someone traveling?
No, because the thing is that there is absolutely no possibility to travel to Switzerland as a tourist being someone from the UK. The only valid reason that I recognize is an intimate relationship. So basically what we have to do is claim that she's coming here to meet me and my extended family.
Is that punishment for the UK with the Brexit thing? Is it just the UK or... countries can come to Switzerland.
Easily. Way easily. But the thing is that Switzerland is not even in the EU. So supposedly there should be retaliation.
Separate agreement.
You know what I mean? Exactly. So we are in the Schengen agreement. So obviously it's easier for me to travel in Europe and everything. But I mean, to make all those, to go through the hassle and everything. I mean, like, for example, she had to rebook her flight because it was not allowed for her to come from a third party country. Like taking a flight from Birmingham to Amsterdam and Amsterdam to Geneva was not a possibility. She had to go straight to the UK from the UK to Geneva. So it's terrible.
This is Without a Trace.
Rochello.
Willus.
Henry.
Zulo.
Merbler.
SMG.
You are listening to Fakeologist Radio at Fakeologist.com.
Did she have to pay more for a direct flight, probably?
Not specifically more, but she had to rebook her flight, and there is no direct flight from Birmingham to Geneva, so she will have to go to London, which will include a little bit of cost to go to London.
Let's say hi to Alto and Fake Egg. You met Alto.
Yes, I did. Great guy. One of the best.
Yeah, that's cool.
And if I must say, rather good looking, to be honest.
All right.
Are you talking about his wife?
No, I will not permit myself to go on that level, but only Alto himself is pretty good looking, and it's a great thing because we are not dweeb that are living in our mom's basement and not having a life. We are intelligent, good looking people that go through life as it should be. So that's a great thing, I think.
That is good. Alto, do you have the same thing to say about Benoit? This thing on?
He's lost for words, mate.
Yeah, he's probably dead laughing right now. No, but jokes aside, it was a great thing to meet him and his girlfriend. And yes, I was very happy that he take upon himself to make the trip because it's not the next door, to be honest, Birmingham and London.
Yes.
No, my audio cut out while he was blowing smoke up my arse.
Yeah, your audio is cutting out. How about Fake Egg? Are you there in Sweden?
Yeah, I'm here. I met up last week with Delete, actually, in Gothenburg.
Oh, yes.
So, yeah.
Is Delete the Elite still on the server?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so.
Yes, he is.
So, we met up in Gothenburg, and we met the two other Q-Vorno guys as well.
Oh, nice. Hey, have you met Sanity for Sweden yet? Have you found that log house that he's in?
No, I haven't.
Do you know who I'm talking about?
When you talk about it, I think you mentioned it some months ago that I should check something out, but I haven't.
Oh, yeah. He's a pretty good commentator. Big guy. He looks like a lumberjack.
Okay. What was his name again?
Sanity for Sweden. He's actually pretty good.
Sanity for Sweden.
YouTube.
On YouTube. Okay.
Yeah. He's got a pretty huge channel.
Okay. Strange.
He doesn't say anything outstanding, but he's just a very level-headed, reasonable person. So what did you learn from the other Swedes?
Okay, yeah. Where is he from? More than I already know.
It was quite
conspiracy-themed, the conversation. So we didn't step out of So it was more or less the same arguments that I've already heard on the pod. So,
yeah.
But it was really good meeting up, nevertheless.
That's
good
great.
Voice. Yeah. So, and there was another guy called Herman there as well, and Martin's girlfriend. So we were six people. I met five new people, one could say. So, yeah. That was good.
You should have done a meetup report.
Maybe.
But just pass around a recorder. Pass around the audio recorder on your phone and just say, we're meeting and we're all, you can say conspiracy or psychologist.
Yeah, that'd
be fun.
Till next time. Yeah. It was quite the meeting, one could say.
How long was it?
First, I met up with Delete and Herman, where Herman lives. And then Martin came by and took us by car to his girlfriend. And Patrick came with bicycle some hour later. So
nice.
And Martin's girlfriend made delicious hamburgers with homemade fries and onion rings. And yeah, it was really good.
Oh, you're making me hungry.
And I was there with my motorhome, so I spent a couple of days. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
So I gave up my apartment, I don't know, 6-9 months ago, and bought a motorhome because I'm spending quite a lot of time at home with my parents nowadays. They are getting old.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Is it can you stay in the motorhome in the winter?
Yeah, I spent much of this winter in the motorhome, but you need almost need to plug it into some electricity because the gas goes fast when it's cold outside. But it's totally doable using the motorhome in the winter. No problem at all this winter. And it was quite cold sometimes. So that was no problem. The only problem living in a motorhome is you can't really move from one room to another. You more or less, you feel a little bit confined being at home, so to speak. But
what about the washroom?
Washing?
The washroom, just the toilet, how does that work in the winter?
No problem. No. Of course, number two, you like to do some other place.
Yeah. But what about keeping the water flowing in the winter? How does that work? Because that means the temperature has to always be above freezing.
That's totally doable as well, even though I didn't do it like that because I only kept drinking water inside and managed to wash myself at work. So I also had other possibilities with friends and stuff like that. So I kind of didn't do the whole thing in the motorhome.
Yeah, I don't think I can do that yet.
But it's quite cozy, but a little bit confined.
Yes.
Overall, I'm quite happy with it, I must say. And it was good getting rid of the apartment because I spent less and less time in it. So,
yeah. Is it an apartment something you owned or rented?
No, I rented it. There was nothing to hold on to. And my father's house is mine in the end. That has already been arranged between me and my brother. So it's, in a way...
Oh, that's good.
It's my home already. But, of course... He must live his last years here without interruption. So,
that's interesting. Yeah, good for you. Yeah. Very interesting. Good. So the Ki Bono guy. So what's happening in Sweden? Are we having a schism between the vaccinated and the unvaccinated there?
I think it has started a little bit, but it's... more or less, maybe. You could feel that there is... a bad moon rising or something like that.
Isn't that interesting? It's happening everywhere at the same time. It's totally synchronized. Totally synchronized, this PSYOP.
They are beginning to push the third jab now. So they are preparing for that. And my father has taken two jabs and my mother will not take the vaccine. And my brother's girlfriend has taken one jab because of peer pressure, or pressure from working mates, one could say. So, and she's, both my brother and her have listened a lot to me, and they know that I'm on the money with my warnings around this, but she succumbed nevertheless. She almost gave me her excuses for taking it. So, but that's at the same time, it made me. I'm beginning to come into some kind of acceptance with the whole thing. I have kind of given up trying to influence people. They really do make their own decisions in the end, even though they sometimes actually know better, I must say. So, in a way, I have given up a little bit of hope trying to talk people out of it. But at the same time, it gets me to some kind of acceptance phase towards all of this. So I'm a little bit more calm, one could say. Things will play out as they must, I think. And I really do think that they will put the vaccinated against the unvaccinated quite soon. It will be quite infectious, I think, between the two groups.
I'm in the same place.
Yeah.
That's what I see. And I know of three people that have been quite severely harmed by the vaccine.
Oh, really? Yeah. What kind of effect?
My brother's 25-ish year old daughter have never been as sick as when she got the first jab. It was an influenza-like sickness. And then I met a 68-year-old man that got severe shakes after the second jab, and his wife got a really bad ache in her arm. So that's three first-hand.
And did your brother's daughter get the second one?
I don't know. I think so. I think so. I haven't talked. Yeah. But I couldn't say because I haven't spoken to her. I've talked to my brother and his girlfriend. So I don't know for sure. But she works with mentally disabled people, so I guess it's kind of required. At the same time, we don't have any real push in Sweden so that you lose your job or something yet, from what I have heard. But we are quite obedient here, so I don't think they have had to play that card yet. Maybe they will do later. We'll see.
Are they wearing the masks in Sweden?
I think if I go to the supermarket, I would say that one or maximum two out of 10 have a mask. Somewhere between 10 to 20%, I would say.
So it's not, is it mandatory?
No, we haven't.
No.
The only thing that's been mandatory, so to speak, is that we couldn't gather more than 8 people doing the same thing. Then the police would show up. But that's the only thing that has been regulated in Sweden. Everything else has been recommendations. And of course, we have some kind of rules for the restaurants and stuff like that. But it's more like they shut off the table and stuff like that. So
the police's solution to solving too many people at one gathering is to send more people to it, right?
Yeah. I got my arm bent up on my back when I was demonstrating in Malmö. So I've seen that firsthand. Felt it. Yeah.
What did they do to you?
They bent my arm up on my back and moved me.
Oh, that hurts.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. I didn't make any kind of resistance when it happened. I just let them walk me away 10 or 15 meters and then they let me loose. So in a way, it was nothing. But nevertheless, they broke up the demonstration.
Well, good for you.
So, yeah, but that was maybe four, five, 6 months ago. So I think, but for us people, there's only been recommendations other than that we couldn't gather more than 8 people. That was some kind of COVID law, I think. So, yeah.
So they haven't ramped up the case demic there at all, huh? They're not punishing Sweden in any way with phony numbers at this point.
No, I think they. It feels like they have. It feels like they let us have our summer undisturbed. But I think. I think they will. That there will be a push when the influenza season is coming, but that's just a guess. But
do they have any variants for Sweden? Any variants for Sweden?
They talk about the Delta variant, yeah, and they they have started now in the media to the last few days to really push the necessity of the third jab. So
third, wow, we're still working on our second in Canada.
Yeah, the official numbers here, I think, is kind of maybe 50% have gotten one jab and 35-40% have gotten two, something like that, I think. So, of people over 18 years old, I think, as well. So, they are.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
Yep, so they are quite on their way with the jabbing, and it seems like
announcement.
I think
yeah,
w- w- we must we talk here to one another, but a normal person, like for example Benoit's daughter, you have to make quite the effort to reach our level of knowing, and most people don't have the time or don't take that time. So it's not that strange that people that consumes mainstream media and talks to so-called normal people thinks that it's a good choice. I think it's quite normal. I don't know.
I agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah. You have to wake up to be able to.
Yeah, you can't cram 9 years of research into 5 minute conversation.
Oh, it's tough. It's tough. But I really have reached my brother and his girlfriend, and my brother is reasoning like if I have to take the jab to hold my job, I will do it. What can a man do with a girlfriend and 2 children? That's his reasoning, even though he has listened to me and he has heard me have rights long before things happened during this whole COVID situation. So they are quite on board and they will take the jab if necessary. So that's, I'm kind of tired and exhausted by that. And it pushes me into some kind of apathetic acceptance of things happening. So that's where I am now mentally. I get angry sometimes.
Are all your, all the Swedes you met up with, are they all staying away from the experimental biological injection?
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good to hear.
No, they don't.
Did that come up in conversation? Did you actually do a roll call and find out, or did everyone offer that information?
They offered it. It came out naturally. So, as of now, as of today, no chance. But we'll see what happens. It will be interesting to see what I will do and other people here, for example, will do when push comes to shove. You really don't know how you act in a situation before you're in it, I think. But I'm preparing myself mentally to withstand any pressure. So.
You have to prepare yourself for a decision.
My decision is totally clear, but if a social credit system pushes you totally out of society with no possibility to get food on your table, what will you do in that case?
I think it's well worth your while taking the letter approach.
Yeah.
I don't think you've got anything to lose by doing that.
Yeah, I've heard you speak about that, and I'm not arguing.
I mean, you know, I think the whole point is to not refuse. In fact, I can hold my hand on my heart and say, look, I've accepted vaccination a year ago.
Mm.
I can hold my hand honestly on my heart and say, anyone that looks me in the face, I accepted vaccination offer a year ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, whatever people may think about the value of that approach, I haven't heard any other approach.
So you want to make a deal with the devil?
It's not a deal. Yeah. No, what you want to make is you conditionally accept
the counter offer. It's a counter offer.
if the devil doesn't want to accept the deal, it's up to him, isn't it?
Yeah, I just don't think that they conduct business honorably. So whatever you do is wasted, really.
I think many people think that, but I'm going to reiterate what I just said before. Maybe, but if you haven't got another idea and you're just going to walk into a wall with a kind of fatalistic approach, which I think being fatalist is a reasonable approach at this stage. However, there is...
Understandable.
But there is a remedy on offer at the moment, which resulted in me receiving a letter from the Prime Minister telling me that vaccines were voluntary.
Mm.
So the idea that they can then push you... Once you have that letter and those 3 non-acceptances, or they ignore what you're offer 3 times, then you can file.
But they can just change the rules again. They can move the goalposts whenever they want.
Well, the issue is then going to be the whole system is based on the UCC. So, you know, their whole system is operating on that. So they're not going to break the rules for that. I mean, they may just deliberately break their own...
Geneva Convention, haven't they?
Well, the Geneva Convention isn't a UCC thing, so...
I mean, UCC is Universal Conduct of Commerce? Code of Commerce?
Something like that. That's the way in which international trade is managed. International law.
Frank, you got some feedback on your last audio?
Yes. I did. I have conditionally accepted your offer, by the way.
What was my offer?
To go and talk with you and Marcus.
Oh, yeah, right. What are your conditions?
There's no undiscussables.
Okay, that's fine. Did you like my Jonathan Winters post? I thought I did that with you in mind.
Yeah, no, I think in the end, everyone except now, well, sorry, many of the people that listen to this show accept that there are actors playing roles in government.
That's for sure.
And some are actual actors. That's the only difference I find is that I'm naming particular names, or I should say that my favourite guy named particular names, whereas other people think of it as a kind of a generic thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's a broad brush actors, whereas I think you can nail down who specifically they are with a bit of effort.
Yes.
I'm just a little bit surprised that people have been so, what would you call it, hostile to the ideas put forward by Ed Chiarini, because
only one person. I don't think more than one person complained, did they? I don't want to
make it
a bigger story than it is.
Cahan really laid into me about it when I appeared on Chris Kendall years ago.
Oh, you're talking about the gold bug. Yeah, you've got two characteristics that irk people: gold bug and Bible. Not necessarily in that order.
All of which I'm completely comfortable with.
Well, you know,
it certainly generated a lot of conversation, didn't it? So that's
good.
I would have thought it was obviously a good thing. Yeah,
that's fantastic. It's funny how Cahan sticks in your craw after all these years. Really made an impression. Isn't that amazing?
Oh no, I'm the reason I came to your site was really to stick it to her.
Oh, that's amazing! Such passion.
Yeah. She really got up my nostril.
We have to get her back on the broadcast. She really fell
away.
Then
she started going on about, you know, how the earth is, you know, there's no way the earth is flat. She started doing her Simon Shack Adoration Society thing.
Yeah.
So from my point of view, I just think she behaves entirely like a Jesuit. And then I find out that her children work for the UN. It's all too much for me.
So, Frank, what's your take? What's your take on the Pole Star and the Southern Cross?
The Pole Star is always the Pole Star. And what's your problem with the Southern Cross?
Yeah, because from what I understand, you can't see both from everywhere on Earth.
It's really about the distance. I think the problem with the argument that's been put forward about not being able to see the Pole Star from everywhere on Earth is that people still imagine the Pole Star as billions of light years away and so far away, you know, that everyone should be able to see it if the Earth was flat. But, you know, I don't think that's true. I think the Pole Star is within the firmament.
Yeah.
And there are other reasons. There's also, you know, the fact that you can see it from the other side of the equator. How is that explained by the Bohr model? You shouldn't be able to, if it is a ball, once you get over the equator, you shouldn't be able to see the Pole Star.
Yeah.
But that's not the case. You can see the Pole Star from quite a lot of Australia.
Okay, I haven't looked for it myself. It's only kind of hearsay. But
I think the real giveaway in all of this stuff is that for as long as I can remember, up until quite recently, the reason we knew that the Earth was curved is because ships disappeared over the horizon. And now that story's completely gone. That's vanished like a puff of wind.
Yeah, that I can agree with.
Mm. As soon as there are enough optics around for people to disprove it, it just went, didn't it?
Yeah, it just vanished. And then also, the first time I looked all this stuff up in Wikipedia, Wikipedia said, no one takes account of the curve of the Earth for any general engineering works within a 250-kilometre radius. Now, a 250-kilometre radius as far as the curve of the Earth goes is just a huge change in elevation. You know, it's hundreds of metres.
Yeah.
And that I looked for that in Wikipedia the other recently, and that's gone as well. So, one by one, all the stories are being changed.
Yeah. Do you think you'd see curvature left to right as well? You know, if you're viewing, say, a distance of, like, across from left to right over, like, sort of 200 miles, you should be seeing that curvature left to right, not just front to... No.
Well, the problem with that argument is...
As well as
when,
right.
When you stare straight ahead, everything on your peripheral vision looks a bit down, right? But if you...
Is that because of the shape of your eyeball?
It's just to do with your, and your psychology of your perception. You're going to have things in your mind from the way you've been trained.
Yeah, but what about your eyeball? Let me at least your eyeball really.
The point is that we're straight ahead. When you look straight ahead, if you put a line to the horizon of straight ahead, it is always horizontal. And if you turn in a circle and look at and get the same view all the time, that the horizon is always horizontal, then don't worry about the. All you need to focus on is what's straight ahead. When you spin on your feet and just turn, the horizon is always horizontal to your eye.
Yeah, I don't think it even looks like a curve, though. If I'm out in the open water, right in the water, and there's no land in sight, it looks flat as far as any...
Sure, but I think that's because your perception has been, the model that you're using to interpret what you see has been changed. I could guarantee that 99 people out of 100, if I said that same thing to them, they will say, oh, no, I can see a curve at the side, it's clear. They will say that.
Yeah. Well, it's like now when I observe the sun, I see it as being local.
Yes, exactly. And I watched the sunrise again this morning. Once you've changed your idea about how it might work, then you see it differently.
Yeah, it is different.
That's just a law of observation. No one can observe anything without a model. I'm bringing up the model again.
Yeah.
We all have models, and they affect what we perceive. For example, people talking about this virus, right? Because they don't have the model that viruses don't exist, they are completely at sea. For them, viruses is the model they operate on, and everything they hear and observe gets filtered through the virus model, and so it confirms what they see.
Yeah. Well, that's cognitive. That's confirmation bias. Yeah, your brain actually excludes any conflicting information. You don't even hear it.
Yeah. You know, how would you describe the way Wi-Fi worked to someone from 100 years ago? It would not be possible. 200 years ago.
But it's almost like if someone speaks another language, I don't hear it. Even though there's a noise, I don't hear it. The same idea.
Yep, exactly.
I hear it for 1 second and filter it out.
Even in the UK, you can go to certain areas with a certain dialect, and I can't understand what they're saying. You know, I need to listen to them for like 10 minutes before I even know what they're really talking about.
It's great though, isn't it? Especially the people from Newcastle.
And Newcastle, Australia. There's one guy in a treehouse that I tell you.
Bab, 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 bab. You understand that?
Yeah. Babble, 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 babble.
Yeah, so that's my, I've been motivated by, I've had a mental block already. My vaccine must have shot me. The vaccine I've agreed to have.
Yeah, Frank, are you familiar with that? Did you hear your crime sinister the other day? I think I put the clip somewhere.
Oh, yeah. He said it's your own fault. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I thought that was sort of off script. Do you think he was freestyling with that comment? I don't think that was a wise thing to say.
Well, so my view, as I've said before, is this is all a legal situation. They're behaving. If I put my filter on about how I see this as being a legal battle, what he said was consistent with that filter.
Yes.
So, maybe I'm right or wrong, but to my filter, what he did was say, we're killing you, but you've agreed to take the vaccine.
Yeah, that's true.
Would you like to support Fakeologist.com and all the content we're creating? We operate on the value-for-value principle, where you pay whatever you can for whatever value you feel you've received. We accept donations in almost every form, from PayPal to Bitcoin. Please go to Fakeologist.com/donate for your payment options. Thank you for your support.
Yeah, he basically said... In a way, we're in a big war, and there will be casualties on the way. And if you agree to fight the war, join us, then you have to consult your own doctor to make sure you're battle ready. And if you want to go to war, then you could die. But at least you were informed.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
And, so at this stage, what I heard, again, repeating myself, confirms my view that we have the ability at this stage to, maintain a civil society using the legal processes that are available to us. And I personally would recommend that over protest and belligerence. because they've got the guns.
Yeah.
And, you know, biblically, this is the time to be wise as serpents.
I'll recommend to everyone on the call before I pass out here that I put a good 15-minute documentary on. It was shot in Australia somewhere, maybe Sydney, and it's called Utopia. You might want to watch it because I really think it is predictive programming for the end game with this digital ID that you're going to get, which will have your digital wallet, your social credit wallet, your green carbon wallet, and, of course, your medical history wallet, which includes your vaccination status for the last however many days. So it'll hold four wallets on it.
I've watched it, and it's quite entertaining, by the way. I think it's, you know, it's a good watch.
Oh, good. Yeah, oh, you already watched it. Good for you. Yeah, it's good. Like, it really could be the case. I don't have a problem with any of it.
No, I like I said, I don't either. I mean, I think people should start using the systems proposed by Empowerment Solutions or Solutions Empowerment or whatever they are, and by others.
Yeah. Or if they really want that.
Pen is mightier than the sword.
Yeah.
No, if they want that.
Or if they want this future, then they should just do nothing, which is what they're doing.
Yeah.
No, there is a good possibility the majority of the people do want this, which will really make it difficult to live in a society where you don't want it. But they all want it. It's going
to
be.
I don't think it's true because there are obviously people in the know that are going to not be bound by these things. You know, I can't imagine that ScoMo is going to end up being bound by the same laws as everyone else who accepts it, for example.
Isn't it great that he has a name that you could abbreviate it to something that he probably doesn't like?
I'll be surprised if it's his real name, but it's possible, I guess.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. ScoMo. We don't have a good
abbreviation for our Prime Minister. He looks very much like one of those octagonal roundheads that we hear so much about.
Okay. What's an octagonal rat? You mean like a 3D star sign?
The guys from Switzerland that run all the, that have all the castles and so on. You haven't heard the guy talk about the octagon stuff?
No.
You should get into that. You would enjoy that.
Well, send me a link.
Sure.
I will look.
I think Benoit's pretty familiar with it.
That German guy, Frank.
Is he German or Swiss? Maybe he is German.
Yeah, I guess he's pretty Swiss-German, isn't he? Yeah.
He's something.
Are you talking about Satan Claus?
No,
I don't think
so. The guy
so.
What's his name? The guy that lives in a tent.
I'll find the links at some stage, Evan. I'll post them for you to start putting his things
in. Thank you. Good.
So I had a conversation with one of my former boss yesterday. He was telling me he's suffering. His business is an importing business, so he's suffering. I think I told you later that my business is thriving largely because it's difficult to import salt.
Yeah.
And he's a salt importer, so his business is conversely suffering. And he is, you know, blaming the various government actions for not managing the virus so well. And my view, I said to him, well, you know, I just think the whole thing's a fraud. So that was just, what? It was just too much.
Well, you tipped him off, eh? Poor guy.
It's too much suffering for him. But yeah. So yeah, it's really, you know, people are really being affected by this. You know, a lot of business people are suffering a lot.
Well, I'm going to have to pass out now. I have to rejoin the tribe for some food and good chatter and talk and review of the day. But I'll be back at 8:30 in 2 hours for a talk.
Abyssinia.
Abyssinia to you too. Thank you.
So what are you up to today, Dave? Elsa, what are you up to today?
I've just been welding something up, a little like a mold form, basically, something to finish off the tailgate for my truck.
Right. I took up welding in recent years. It's a very handy skill, isn't it? I'm rubbish at it, but I really find it, even being rubbish, it's still useful. And Babette, what are you up to? Get back, Dave. Okay, are you there?
Yeah.
Are you in? You're in Sweden, not Norway. Is that right?
Sweden, yes.
And in the south?
Yes. Between Malmö and Gothenburg.
Oh, nice. Beautiful.
Yeah, we have beautiful beaches here, and we have had really warm weather the last few months as well. So
I think I caught a ferry from Norway to one of those beaches.
Okay, yeah.
Is that likely? Is that possible?
It could be. I think you could have... I don't know what ferries goes to where, but you could have gone to Varberg, maybe, or Malmö, or something like that. That's quite possible.
And is that's near where you are, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. It's called Halmstad here.
Nice.
So, it's where Roxette comes from, if you've heard of them.
Is it?
Yeah. So.
And again, that's another phenomenon, isn't it? That the number of famous Swedish bands that sing in English.
Yeah, that's quite a few of them. Yeah, I think.
So what's that all about, I wonder?
We have had quite, everything has been for free in this country since I was born, with a, say, socialist system working. It's kind of cracking now, but for many, many, many years, it actually kind of worked. And we had great possibilities learning musical instruments more or less for free here.
Mm-hmm.
And I think our knowledge of speaking English is quite good as well overall. So there's no hindrance playing musical instruments and managing the English as well. Quite good, I think. So in a way, almost all people had the chance to become musicians if they had that inclination. There was no problem picking up an instrument, affording an instrument, or getting to learn an instrument. So maybe that is some key to the success.
And is live music a big thing in Sweden? Do you know, do people go out to the hotels and listen to bands all night?
Yeah. I'm really not too sure, because I can't compare to how it is in other countries, but we only have a population of 10 million on quite a big land mass. So of course we have live shows and maybe quite a lot of them as well, but we aren't densely populated, so in a way it's limited as well, because
so all I mean is, for example, here in Geelong, which is quite a small place really.
Yeah,
most of the pubs will have live music.
Yeah, yeah, it's not uncommon. Yeah,
okay.
We have live music as well.
Okay.
But I'm quite interested in music myself, even though I only play a few chords on the guitar. But listening to other rock musicians from other countries, they always many times they agree on that the Swedish musicians are quite good, if not very good. So it seems like the standard is quite high.
Mm.
Maybe success breeds success as well. When we had Björn Borg playing tennis, for example, we had quite a few tennis players coming right after him as well. So,
but while you're on that subject, what's happened to the tennis craze in Sweden?
It's almost gone. We have an extreme paddle craze now. So people are playing paddle all over the place. I think it's quite tough for such a small country as Sweden, with just 10 million citizens, to compete through the decades. I think naturally there will be some tops here and there, but we don't have 50 million people to choose from. So, but the tennis wonder is more or less over now. But at the same time, I'm not that interested in sports anymore. I watched the football European Championship with great interest, but otherwise I'm not that into sports any longer. So, but we don't have any good tennis players as of now, I think. And the reason why we were good in tennis, I think, also had to do with the high standard of living. We had tennis courts all over the place here when Björn Borg was big. So everyone had a chance to pick up a tennis racket and try it out. So
do you think the standard of living is falling now?
Yeah, it's it's falling, absolutely. Yeah.
And do you suggest that's because of deindustrialization?
Yeah, it must be. I think also that this socialist thing with high taxes, and we have had an extreme inflow of from countries in war.
Refugees?
Refugees, yeah. And we've had an extreme inflow. I think we are number one in the world taking refugees if you count per capita. I think we are world champions by far, far, if you look that up. So we've gone from, I'm born in 68, and the country was 8 million people then, and now we are 10.5 million, and we don't breed any children, the Swedes. So it's all inflow from other countries. That's quite a lot,
yeah.
From 8 to 10.5 million, with us not having more than 1.6 or 1.7 children per couple, the natural Swedes. So we are totally overtaken by refugees in a way. This country is almost as black as it is white now.
Mm.
So old people don't recognize the country any longer. If you're, say, 70 years old, I don't recognize it either. Some people in my age are so programmed that they don't see it. And we have always been told that we are the most humane country in the world, and that stuff.
Hi, I'm Baby.
Sending Tribe.
This is Lost Fighter Phallus.
I'm Nightly News.
Frank McManus.
Adam Miller.
You're listening to Fakeologist Radio at fakeologist.com.
In a way, I think us Swedes got a little too high standard of living, so maybe it was necessary to import people cleaning toilets and other stuff. I think, and also it lowers the median wages as well if you fill up the country with people willing to work for less money. So maybe that's
an outrageous suggestion.
Okay.
I'm kidding. Sorry, I was being
ironic.
I was being, what's it? I just love it as soon as you start talking. As soon as you start talking anything like that, you get all sorts of outrage occurring.
Yeah, I don't care. I'm quite tough when it comes to that.
when I was about 20 or so, I was ostracized by my friends because I said, oh, you do realize that as more women enter a particular profession, the lower the pay rates become for that profession. Because people were asking me, why did I not want to be a teacher? Because I was on track to be a teacher. And then I switched over to engineering. And my friend said, oh, why did you do that? I said, well, because, you know, there's a lot of women entering in teaching, and so the wages are going to be terrible in the long run. I'm going to go and be an engineer, because there's no women doing that.
Yeah. That's nothing against women.
I was just right. You know,
it plays out like it plays out.
So it didn't take, you know, it didn't take any rocket science. And but wow, talking facts.
No, if you're too smart, people get angry with you.
Numbers are hatred.
Yeah.
Numbers are hatred. It's just, you know, there's just whatever it is about women, they just don't like to rock the boat. They certainly
There are a lot of
They just hope merit is going to be the reason they get ahead.
Yeah, in a way. And shame to say it, but I'm a little bit like that myself as well. So, but that, I think that comes down to the Swedish upbringing, because I think really we are in the forefront when it comes to political correctness and that kind of jive. We are quite, we believe in the collective thing very much. And I'm trying to work on that. And I'm,
one of the things that I've talked about for a long time in my blog is that the collective is only any good if it's a benefit to the individual. If the individual is suffering from being in the collective, get out.
Yeah, it took me more than 40 years to realize that, but yeah, I'm coming through. So it's tough to deprogram oneself, but day by day you have to take everything anew, I think, that you have learned, and look at it with fresh eyes. But it's quite the process.
But you know, as I pointed out before, even in this milieu that we're in, you know, talking to people on the internet, there is still a lot of what I consider to be just nonsense spoken about. Like, you know,
absolutely.
People, that's all. I just think there's still plenty of nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was worrying about why Kay Ham got me so riled up. It would be fair to say that that character that plays. Whoever plays that character is one of the people that caused me to remove my detachment. I value detachment, but that particular character gets my goat.
Yeah. I haven't heard her that much, so I'm not.
I'm not expecting you to join my course.
No. I'm not recruiting.
I was just saying that I
just grooming.
No.
I'm not
100% familiar with your beef, so to speak.
It's all from a time that seems like the mystical past. I think anything pre-March 2020 is in the old world.
Yeah.
You know, the one that Charlton Heston finds when he rides along the beach and sees the Statue of Liberty sunk in the sand.
Yeah.
Still in Technicolor. Yeah, so surreal just thinking back.
I just think that's essentially where we are now. We're riding along the beach, looking at the Statue of Liberty, waist deep in the sand.
So, but she was from Clues Forum originally, or?
Oh, she was here.
Okay.
I think she's gone more to Clues Forum because I don't know for sure, but my return and I just kept smacking at her.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, I've made no attempt to be pleasant at all. I laugh at the idea that people think I'm a nice guy. It just is amusing to me.
Yeah, I think you're a nice guy. So I'm obeying you in some ways because I try to read the Lord's Prayer.
I really think that's great. I don't see how that can be of any harm to anyone.
A banned subject.
No,
it's not banned.
You've had your quota, haven't you, Frank?
No, yeah. Never. I'm all for it. I like you know, being naughty. And I think it's great, the idea that saying the Lord's Prayer is an act of rebellion. Really appeals to me.
Yeah. It doesn't do any harm, that's for sure.
That really amuses the child in me.
I'm not I read the Bible, not a lot, but a little bit, always have, but I'm not too sure that Jesus exists as a person, but that doesn't mean that you can't find good things in that book. I think there's a lot of good things there.
You know, my personal view is that, you know, we have got no way to know what's real and what's not real. How can we?
No, yeah, absolutely.
You know, we are caught in a time where even the Bible says that God's not talking to us anyway, so, you know, that's a problem. But what we can say clearly is that the legal system recognizes Jesus' existence.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
And that really is probably the most important aspect of it.
Probably, yeah, could be. But personally, I have gotten some philosophy out of the Bible that I think I have benefited from. So I tend to, instead of seeing Jesus as a person, I tend to see him as a symbol for truth. So that's... today, I see the name Jesus. I put truth in the place of his name when I read the Bible.
Yep.
And I think the best part to see that is when Jesus says that if you stay with your mother and father or your wife instead of following me, you are not worthy of me. He says that
yeah, yeah.
in some place. And it sounds really hard and harsh if Jesus says it, but if you put truth in his place, then it's not that hard any longer. That's kind of very logical.
Right, because you are controlled by your social connections unless you have that thought that you've just espoused.
Yeah, yeah. So you
will take the vaccine on the basis that you want to please your wife. You will.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But you must, if you don't follow your truth, you're not worthy of Jesus/truth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And of course the Bible does say, I am the truth.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I think that, and for
so
me.
So it works entirely as a metaphor, doesn't it? As well as, you know, regardless of reality.
Yeah, I think it's philosophy and metaphors.
Yeah,
yeah, it's an occulted work, isn't it?
I beg your pardon?
Yeah.
It's an occulted work. No, it's as far as I take it, it's
hidden knowledge in some ways.
Yeah.
That's the occult, then it's occult.
Encoded in all these different ways.
Yeah.
Well, even the 33 thing that everyone bangs on about, that's the age at which Christ was said to have been crucified. Yeah. So it's really full on.
Yeah.
And it's also, 33 is a third, isn't it?
Third of the angels.
Yeah. Mm. And just thirds, a third is such a common proportion used, just in all sorts of things. So, it's really common.
Mm-hmm.
That's really, I suspect that we have entirely the same views, Fake Ake.
Yeah, I haven't disagreed with your reasoning as of yet in any bigger part. No, I think I listen when you talk about that, and I kind of nod my head many times. So,
that's terrific. Then I pray that that what I'm saying is the truth.
Yeah, and even if it's not the truth, I find some comfort in it. It's like a crutch to lean on in times like this as well. So,
I think I would be all at sea if I hadn't been for this way of thinking.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, it's definitely something to hold on to. If this is a spiritual war, which it well could be, then you better believe in something. And you don't have to believe in Jesus as a person or stuff like that, but you could believe in a creator. That I definitely do. That I'm positively sure that someone.
Like I said, best to not believe it. But there is just no evidence to the contrary.
No, I'm totally on board with that. So I could say that I know that there is a creator, but I have no proof more than.
Well, I think you do have proof. Just from the fact that you can breathe air. How did that come about?
And given
that someone is lying to us about the nature of space.
Yeah, that's kind of my truth. I tend to think of my eye, and I can see that that comes from a big bang and small organisms being me to me seeing things with an eye. No, that must be a creation of some sort. I totally believe in a creator. And that is a crutch. That is a really good crutch. So I hope that it gives me the strength I need for the years that seems to be coming here with quick changes in a tough, mentally tough environment. So
it's mentally tough. Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah. It takes its toll sometimes. I'm beginning to be a little bit calmer now. I was very disturbed when the corona thing started and the people didn't wake up seeing what's going on. I was really, really put down between, say, March to May or something last year was really, really tough. But I feel that I am coming around to some kind of acceptance now, even though I get angry now and then, even today. Yeah,
it's like you felt like you could almost catch it before it all gets too far out of control. And kind of the more it went on, the more you just kind of felt it slipping through your hands.
I had
people that I'd like convinced the other way, and then they kind of come over to the side of my way of thinking for a few weeks, but then they've gone back the other way, and like I've had my dad who's flip-flopped so many times, but then he's gone and got the vax. Now he's flip-flopped back over to my side again
after the vaccination.
My whole family apart from my sister has had it.
I've convinced both my mother and father to my way of thinking, but my father got the vax anyhow, so
He's okay.
He's very tired, but otherwise he's okay.
He was tired after the vax, was he?
Yeah, it's hard to say, but I would say that. But it's kind of hard because he's 86 years old, yeah. And he sits in a wheelchair, and he has no legs, and so he eats a lot of medicines. So if it was the vax or if things finally are taking their toll, I couldn't really say, but he is definitely more tired now. But I can't go as far as to say that I'm 100% sure that it's the vaccine. But that's more poison to his body, and he's quite full of petrochemicals. He eats them every day, and he bows to authority. That's the problem. So, you know, he sits here in his home, or my home, actually. But here comes people knocking on the door with a syringe and says that he should take a jab. And he believes in authority. So I don't think he had... we were in agreement in this family that we wouldn't take any jabs. Nevertheless, he bowed to pressure and authority. So that's the way it went.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
You know, I guess you can be grateful at least that you're, that the authorities are not saying, well, you have to have a vax because you're with a vulnerable man.
No. Through all this propaganda, my father of 86 years old and my mother is 85, they have never stopped seeing their grandkids. So we didn't change anything in this family on that thing.
That's cool. That's a great outcome, isn't it?
Yeah. So as I say, they really have listened to what I have had to say the last 10 years, and they are on board. At the same time, I show them interesting stuff, videos and things like that on the television, and we discuss it. So that's no problem. But they can't seem to find any own curiosity and doing any own research. I have to spoon feed them stuff. And then they go back to the mainstream newspapers and the television.
I'm surprised. I don't want to be too rude, but the Swedish television I've seen and the Norwegian television, it's really quite dull. It seems to set a new standard in being dull.
Absolutely.
I'm a bit surprised at how it's able to hold anyone's attention.
Yeah, of course, my father has... yes, probably there's lots of channels with football and stuff like that. So he has some TV package with 40 channels. Yes, Swedish television. No, I can't stand watching television these days. I came out of it in the early 90s because I was studying at the university in the early 90s, and we had I lived in a corridor with 8 students, and the television was always on, but we never watched any of it. We just had it as a meeting place. So I came out of having to see different programs, actually, in the early 90s. Of course, I did watch television after that, but since being awake, it has gotten really tough to stand a television program these days. I watch a movie every once in a while, but mostly one thinks of how the programming is made instead of enjoying the movie.
Yeah, you're trying to catch them in it and observe it.
Yeah, you see what they are after.
I've had a lot of fun watching 50s and 60s westerns, you know, US westerns, and looking at the women and trying to work out if they're really women or not. And tell you what, it's really interesting. It's really interesting. Yeah. Wow, it's not that clear cut.
Oh. Yeah, I'm thinking along those lines as well nowadays. But
that's all Unreal's fault, by the way. So if you're listening to this, Unreal, this is your fault.
What do you say?
It's Unreal's fault that I look at those westerns now.
Okay. Like yeah. Yeah.
The,
yeah.
You know, so he's got something to answer for.
Yeah.
Don't start about the zebras.
What's wrong with the zebras? Like, it was great. It was a great discussion. Just, you know, I have completely just, I'm open to anything except what my government is telling me.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I've heightened my intake of salt as well, thanks to you.
Oh, I'm sure that's not going to do you any harm. Actually, do you know the Swedish diet was traditionally very salty up until recently?
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
You know, you call them roll mops. I think the Norwegians call them silt. But
Sill.
Yeah.
Fish.
Salted fish. Very salted fish.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Sweden lived off that before the refrigerators, I think.
Yeah, exactly. So. And, you know, Swedes enjoyed very long lives.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I don't know if we are number one, but we were. Maybe we are.
You were.
Life expectancy.
Yeah, not anymore. It's Japan now.
Okay, yeah. But we are
countries, but there is a few pockets of very, very long-lived people. But they all have in common, it's interesting all the rationalization about why they have, but they all have in common our spirituality, praying, and lots of salt in their food.
Okay, yeah, wouldn't surprise. And if I look at my dad, who's 86, with all the problems that he has, I think he's very old considering his situation.
Yeah.
So,
Does he have salt?
Yeah, he has always loved his salt and taken a lot of flack for it. Yeah. My mother has listened to the mainstream media and she has tried to tell him that he shouldn't salt his food as much as he do, but he has.
Yeah, even though he's 86.
Yeah. She's great in many ways, but she's a nagging woman as well. So yeah.
Thanks heaven Jesus spared us from that. We don't have to put up with that anymore. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah. I think many women are like that. They try to tell their environment small things that they should or shouldn't do.
They're into safety and doing what the government says. That's how they perceive the world. It's the least threatening.
Yeah, at the same time, my mother is quite a rebel. She won't take the vaccine, and she really doesn't like people telling her what to do. So, but she gladly offers other people her opinion. So she was an artist when I was young. So she has quite a lot of right brain thinking, I would say.
And she's not an artist anymore?
Well, of course, she's in a way. But yeah, she could take a pen and a paper and do something really nice, of course. Yeah, she's quite good, actually. So, but she couldn't live off that, so she became a secretary at the hospital in the end. When I was about 12 years old, she got a real job, so to speak. But before that, she was trying to be a painter, an artist.
Mm.
So she has a good eye for things like that, real good eye.
Yeah.
And my father is quite the opposite. He's an engineer.
I knew
thinking in black and white and zeros and ones. Yeah.
That's me.
So, I'm kind of split in the middle. So I think I've gotten quite a lot from both my father and my mother. So that's good in a way, but it's a little bit schizophrenic as well. I could be quite anal about things, and I can also be right-brainly foolish as well. So, yeah, I have
love that word,
both.
Anal. just doesn't it just mean you're neat?
What?
It's like a strange... Anal just means you're neat, doesn't it?
It means
it's more
that
like
you are...
an obsessive thing, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. You have to get everything right when you're anal.
Yeah.
To the decimal. Yeah, that's what I meant.
I think it's interesting that it's given such a pejorative term for what really is a very desirable, you know, to want to do something very, very well. I would have thought was a desirable.
Yeah, but you shouldn't do everything like that, I think. You should, sometimes you should let go, and sometimes you should be very...
The perfect is the enemy of the good.
Fast and slow.
What did you say?
A fellow I worked with told me that the perfect is the enemy of the good.
Yeah. It can be. I think you should look at every situation for what it needs. Sometimes fast and dirty could be good enough, and sometimes you have to do it thoroughly. And
all depends who's going to see it, doesn't it?
Yeah, it learns. Yeah, it depends. It depends. Sometimes you have to. You can't be too perfect in every situation, I think. But you should be it when things are important. You should learn to choose your fights. In a way.
You've just made me realize that, of course, Jesus asked us to be perfect.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that you have to count every penny every day.
No, it doesn't.
No. So what's perfect?
Jesus.
Yeah. Obviously. Yeah, but I think he valued the situations and made the correct decision for that. What that situation craved.
Yes, very. All right, well, I better go and get myself some breakfast, I guess. Thank you for chatting.
Yeah, thank you.
Pleasure to talk. Take care, everybody. Enjoy the post Planet of the Apes world.
Yeah, I will go to bed as well. It's 1:15 at night.
Yeah, you're an hour ahead.
Yeah, so sleep tight.
Catch you around.
Bye.
See you later.
That's all, folks.